Perhaps you've been told that you look like a family relative, or perhaps somebody who's famous. I'm sure it's happened to some of us at one point or another. And if we're being honest, there are times we consider that to be a great compliment. Really? You think I look like him? You think I look like her? It's perhaps quite flattering. But isn't the opposite also true? Sometimes we consider it a bit of an insult. Really? I don't look like them at all. Please don't say that. It's an unfavourable look-alike. That's the kind of thing we have here in Hosea chapters 6 and 7. An unfavourable look-alike. If you're visiting with us this evening, we're in the middle of a series looking at this prophet Hosea. We go back in time to around the middle of the 8th century BC. And if you were here last week when we considered chapters 4 and 5 and the very beginning of chapter 6, you will remember, of course, we were in a courtroom. The people of God were in the dock. God himself was putting forward the case for the prosecution, and he accused his people of great unfaithfulness, of breaking his covenant, of disobeying his laws, time after time after time. And with the charge brought and the evidence laid, there really was only one sentence possible. And we ended chapter 5 with a solemn sentence. However, in chapter 6, the opening 3 verses, it looks like the people of God have taken God's charge seriously. And it seems that they have come to repentance. Look at the beginning of chapter 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. And we think, brilliant. There's no hint that this is anything but a sincere appeal. It's as if they're saying, Lord, we're going to be different from now on. As we're going to see this evening, yes, there are great words, but they're not enough. Because their words aren't backed up by actions. God's speaking in these chapters 6 and 7 this evening, and he says, you know, Israel, you look just like so and so. You look just like such and such. And with Hosea, he's painting these pictures. He's putting together a portrait for us. And so from chapter 6, verse 4, to the end of chapter 7, we find 6 striking images for us that paint a portrait of what Israel is like, of what we are like. It's not a pretty picture. As I've prepared for this evening, I've seen myself in every one of these images, and I think we'll find we're all there. Sadly, we Christians, as God's people today, were very similar to Ephraim, to Samaria, to Israel in these chapters. So we're going to look at these 6 images in turn this evening, and God's inviting us to see something of ourselves. It will be an unfavourable look-alike. The first image, we're like the morning mist. We're like the morning mist, superficial. This is in chapter 6, verse 4. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. We've all seen it. You wake up early in the morning, and you look out of the window, and there's a light, foggy mist. You could hardly see 30, 40 feet ahead of you. It isn't long until it lifts. Those of you who are students and sleep in a bit longer might not be familiar with the morning mist. Or in the summer, if you go out and walk across the lawn, your feet get all wet, don't they, in the morning? But give an hour or two and you could go out, there might not be even a hint of moisture. The dew has gone. God's saying to his people, you know, that's what you're like. At least that's what your love is like. It's there for a moment, and then it disappears like the morning mist, like the dew. In other words, it's superficial. How Hosea must have felt an echo of these words in his heart. Remember Gomer. How often must Gomer have cried her eyes out in sorrow, pledging her undying love to Hosea, assuring him that she would never again be unfaithful to him. I promise, Hosea, I promise I'll never again leave you. I promise. But her promise only lasts until she sees the next handsome man. She turns her back upon her husband, leaving him again broken and ashamed. We can almost hear him saying, why? Why are you so unfaithful to me, Gomer? Why do you keep saying you'll stay with me, you'll give up your sleeping around, and then you break your word the very next minute? That's the force of Hosea's picture here. You say that you love me, but the next moment it's gone, just like the morning mist, God says. For evidence to back it up, we see in verse 6. Verse 6 is perhaps the most famous verse in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6. It's quoted by the Lord Jesus twice in the New Testament. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God, rather than burnt offerings. You see, God's people were very religious. They went to the worship of God, and they offered their sacrifices to get on the right side of him. No doubt in doing so, they made great statements of devotion and love. But it didn't last. Minutes later, hours later, they're back in their home, back in their office, if you like, and they're behaving just as they had done before. Their words of devotion, which sounded so great, their offerings, they are soon forgotten. Friends, it's easy for us to say all the right things. It's easy to say all the right words and to mean it when we say it. But how quickly we leave that building, or we leave that prayer meeting, or we leave our devotions in the morning, and that love that was there, it disappears. Disappears like the morning mist. Superficial, God says. You're like the morning mist. Superficial. The second image we see, we are like the smouldering oven. Lustful. We're like the smouldering oven. Lustful. This is in chapter 7, verses 1 to 7. From verse 1, God makes it clear that he's longing to restore his people. He's longing to have an intimate relationship with them again. But yet he can't get away from their sin. He can't ignore it. We see that at the end of verse 1. They practice deceit. Thieves break into houses. Bandits rob in the streets. They're thinking they can get away with all these things. But in verse 2, but they do not realize that I remember all their evil deeds. Their sins engulf them. They are always before me. Friends, we too need to remember the all-seeing eye of God. A God who looks on our sin not just with anger, but with grief as well. And as for the leaders, far from being appalled, the leaders seem to revel in this wickedness. Verses 3 and 4. They delight the king with their wickedness, the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, burning like an oven, whose fire the baker need not stir from the kneading of the dough till it rises. Now, friends, do we see the picture? The baker sets the fire alight. He doesn't need to stoke it. It just keeps on smouldering until suddenly it blazes up again. Verse 6. Their hearts are like an oven. They approach him with intrigue. Their passion smoulders all night, just like their ovens. In the morning it blazes like a flaming fire. It's always one of the great pleasures this time of year, an open fire. And if you're familiar with open fires, you could leave a blazing fire for an afternoon. By the evening it's died down, but it's still smouldering. It's not too long, doesn't take too much work until you can get it blazing up again. God says, you know, that's what you're like. You're like a smouldering oven. Your hearts, they're just smouldering with sin all the time. It's no wonder that every now and then they erupt into a blaze of sin, and then they go back to smouldering again. That's what you're like, a smouldering oven. And it's a picture particularly of lust. Verse 4, a lust for sex. Verse 4, they are all adulterers burning like an oven. Remember the Lord Jesus said that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. There's a lust for drunkenness. Verse 5. On the day of the festival of our king, the princes become inflamed with wine, and he joins hands with the mockers. And there's a lust for power. Verse 7. All of them are hot as an oven. They devour their rulers. This was a time of great political turmoil. You're like a smouldering oven, God says through Hosea. You're burning with lust, and you're allowing your lusts to keep simmering away. Just keep smouldering, and you're not taking any radical action to deal with them. Don't be surprised that from time to time they blaze up like a flaming fire. Friends, we mustn't believe the lie of Satan that it's only sinful actions that matter. No one suddenly commits adultery out of the blue. No one suddenly gets addicted to internet pornography out of the blue. No one suddenly gets addicted to alcohol out of the blue. The chances are almost inevitably that that action is the result of months, maybe years, of that sin smouldering away and smouldering until it blazes alight. You're like a smouldering oven, God says. We're like the morning mist, the smouldering oven. Thirdly, we're like the inedible cake, compromised. We're like the inedible cake, compromised. This is in verse 8. Ephraim mixes with the nations. Ephraim is a flat cake, not turned over. Some of you I know are following with great interest the Great British Bake Off, a cookery competition on BBC One. The contestants are set three tasks each evening and are judged by their experts, Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood. We have a picture here of an absolute Bake-Off disaster. Back in Hosea's day, if you forgot to turn a cake in the oven, it was a disaster. It would be burnt on one side, it would be underdone on the other. Both sides inedible. Good for nothing but the bin. And Hosea says, you know, that's what you're like. You're neither one thing or the other. The first half of verse 8 makes the point. Ephraim mixes with the nations. You see, God's people should have been distinct. They were designed to be set apart from the nations, to be holy. That's what holy means, separate, set apart, distinct. But instead, they mixed. They mixed with the nations. Until really, there was no difference between Israel and the surrounding nations. We might say that the side facing God was underdone, and the side facing the nations was overdone. One side doughy, the other side burnt. It's an extremely powerful image that speaks of God's revulsion at the behaviour of his people. Our equivalent of the nations that surround us is, of course, the world, friends. Those that don't know and believe in Jesus Christ. Like Israel all those years ago, we are also called to be distinct, to shine like stars in the midst of a dark world. But often we are indistinct. We like to fit in. And so we're undercooked in our relationship with God, because we're worried about what our friends might think. We're worried that they might think we're a bit strange, a bit serious. And we leave that part underdone. And then we're overdone in our relationship with the world. We want to fit in. We join in with that bit of gossip in the staff room. We join in and we criticize our wife or our husband in front of others. Or we laugh at the crude joke in the changing room. Probably we don't go quite so far as them, because we can't get rid of the nagging reminders that God is there and that he cares about how we live. But we do try and do the spiritual splits, don't we? One foot in God's camp, one foot in the world. It's always going to be uncomfortable. We'll never quite fit in with either group. We're compromised, half-becked, inedible, God says. You're like an inedible cake. We're like the morning mist. We're like a smouldering oven. We're like an inedible cake. Fourthly, we are like an aging man. We are like an aging man, complacent. This is in verse 9. Need to be careful here. Verse 9. Foreigners sap his strength, but he does not realize it. His hair is sprinkled with grey, but he does not notice. We need to know that instead of trusting in God, the nations and the leaders of Israel, they looked to the other political powers, the nations that surrounded them, like the Assyrians and the Egyptians and the Arameans. They entered into alliances to buy peace, which left them having to pay huge sums of tribute money, almost bankrupting the nation. It was a rubbish kind of a foreign policy. They're almost bankrupt. It was only a matter of time before other nations would come and destroy them in 722 BC. But they just can't see it. They're blind as to their condition. And God says, you know, you're just like an aging man who still convinces himself he's in his prime. His hair is sprinkled with grey, but he doesn't notice. We're to imagine a man of a certain age who still acts like Jack the Lad. He wears clothes suitable for someone half his age. Of course, he's such an embarrassment to his kids, grandkids, but he just can't see what everyone else can see. the greying hair, the aging skin. God says you're just like that. You haven't realized that you're no longer where you were. Israel, you're no longer the strong, devoted nation you once were. You have failed and you have backslidden. You think you're okay. You think you're in your prime, but you are not. And friends, for all of us, it's as if when we read these words, we're holding a mirror up before us. Either we don't recognize ourselves in it and we say, oh, these people, they're dreadful. They really ought to repent. Or we forget all about it and we carry on living just as before. Complacent, says God. Think of James 1:23-24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. We're like an aging man, God says, complacent. We're like the morning mist. We're like a smouldering oven. We're like an inedible cake. We're like an aging man. Fifthly, we're like a silly dove. A silly dove, fickle. Now this is in verse 11. Ephraim is like a dove, easily deceived and senseless, now calling to Egypt, now turning to Assyria. One moment it seemed to suit Israel to cozy up to Egypt, one of their enemies. They were the big power in the world. But then when it didn't suit them, they flitted off to Assyria and started cozying up to Assyria. Easily deceived. Senseless. But the really terrible thing wasn't that they were fickle in their dealings with the nations. Far worse, they were fickle in their dealings with God. Because every alliance that they made with these other powers reflected a lack of trust in God. They should have trusted in God. They should have trusted in Him alone. And so God says, I'm going to judge you. It's chapter 7, verse 2. When they go, I will throw my net over them. I will pull them down like birds of the air. When I hear them flocking together, I will catch them. Verse 12, sorry. He speaks of throwing his net over them. That's how you used to catch birds in those days, with a net. It's a message for us, friends. Instead of trusting in our Heavenly Father, we're like silly doves. We're tempted to place our ultimate dependence on so many other things. Family, friends, money. But God says, trust in me. Don't flit around from place to place. Don't be like a silly dove, never settling, never committing. Trust in me, God says. You're like a silly dove. We're like a silly dove. Then our sixth picture. We are like a faulty bow. We are like a faulty bow. Ineffective. This is in chapter 7, verse 16. They do not turn to the Most High. They are like a faulty bow. Or an imagery more familiar today. You're like a dodgy fairground rifle. You look down the sights, you aim at the target, but when you fire, the bullet always veers off course. That's what you're like, says God. You're pointed in the right direction. You're pointed to God, who is your help, your protection, your salvation. But so very soon, you're veering off in the wrong direction. You're like a bow which cannot shoot arrows accurately. In other words, ineffective. ineffective in your fight against evil. Are we any better today, friends? God tells us very clearly in his word that we're in a spiritual battle against sin, this world, against the devil. To fight well, we need to be efficient, but we're like a faulty bow. We're ineffective. What an awful portrait Hosea has painted. Can you see yourself in these pictures, friends? We're like the morning mist, superficial. We're like the smouldering oven, lustful. We're like the inedible cake, compromised. We're like an aging man, complacent. We're like a silly dove, fickle. We're like a faulty bow, ineffective. This is an unfavourable look-alike. As we look at it this evening, can we not see God's dilemma? If this is what we are like, how can God just take us back? How can God forgive us if this is what we're like? How can he forgive us when we're so superficial and lustful and compromised and complacent and fickle and ineffective? What should we expect him to do when we keep on behaving like this time and time and time again? That's the question that's raised up over and over in this book of Hosea. God asking, how can I keep loving you? Well, friends, it's a question that of course is only answered in the New Testament with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said, Father, let me take the judgment that they deserve. Let me take the punishment for all of their superficiality, for all of their lusts, for all of their compromising, their complacency. Let me, he said, let me be punished for their fickleness and ineffectiveness. And friends, as we have considered this portrait this evening, let's not forget that Jesus became this look-alike for you and for me. He was counted just like the morning mist. He was treated just like the smouldering oven, the inedible cake, the aging man, the silly dove, the faulty bow. Friends, he took on this look-alike so that we could receive a look-alike that would top all compliments. We find it in 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be is not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. May God continue to shape us and mould us, friends, to be less like this description in Hosea 6 and 7, and more like that of his Son, our Saviour. Amen.